Awesome. Well, everybody doing all right this morning?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? Awesome. Rolling strong. All right. Well, we're gonna be pretty brief this morning, which I've heard is actually a preacher's way of saying we're gonna take a really, really long time. But I don't actually mean that. Our goal is we want to get out and we're gonna spend some time on our D groups again this morning. So I want to get there, but this morning we're just going to kind of keep doing some of what we've been doing this weekend. Like I said, in a lot of ways this weekend, while it's an orientation retreat, it is very much a reorientation retreat. Just to take a few of those things that we've maybe thought about or kind of grabbed hold of a little bit, and we just want to kind of turn them a little bit more and say, well, what is this really? Finding a new way to think about things. So just a real quick recap from last night, just to kind of connect the dots from last night to this morning. Last night, ultimately, we talked about grace. We said that His grace is that we know His grace not only according to the cross, but also according to His resurrection. So that the grace is according to the cross and the resurrection, that it's not only mercy, the mercy of God to die in our place, but also the power of God to raise us up into new life with Him. And ultimately, I think Jeremy has said this before. Grace is this. This is something that you want to write down. Grace is this. Grace is the power of God to do the will of God. Okay, so if you wanted to summarize last night, that's really a great little statement. It is the power of God to do the will of God, that it removes all of the past junk and frees us up to do all kinds of new things. And so that's a little bit of that. And the thing about what we talked about last night is that half grace, that half grace thing, that's only that first half, can only ever be experienced or known in the past. Like, it only has enough power to cleanse your past. But this kind of new picture and fuller picture of grace opens up an unbelievable and whole new realm of possibilities for the future. And that's the kind of grace that we want to walk in. And so that's a lot of what last night was about. And before we jump straight into what we're doing this morning, I just wanted to tell a couple stories and ask some questions as usual. And so we all just had breakfast, and I love breakfast. I was really enjoying the last like 15 or 20 minutes where we were all just like sitting around tables drinking coffee and talking and laughing and telling stories. Those are like my favorite moments. I feel like grandma's house. I don't know, like, that's just like, go there and you sip coffee and you talk and everyone tells stories and it's great. That's what I felt like. It was like a family. I love it. We are a family. But I guess what maybe is a kind of food or drink or something that you've had that when you had it, it just kind of like made you go, like, you know what I mean? Like that, or like you kind of get tingly inside. Like, anybody have one of those? What is your
biscuits and gravy?
That cupcake last night.
The cupcake sandwiches. Cupcake sandwiches. Yeah, that was awesome.
Gummy bears.
That's for John David right there. I love gummy bears. All right, fantastic.
Hot tea.
That's what I was going to say, man. In high school, I used to, like, when I'd be having, like, a stressful week or whatever, I'd get chai tea. And that stuff just, like, warms your soul. It's like, it just tingles, like, all the way down into the depths of your being. It's just good stuff. I love it. Just, like, you drink it up and it's good. But I love just, like, good food. Are good, warm drinks, like hot chocolate on a cold winter night, like by the fireplace. I don't know, just like, this is good stuff. That's awesome. But what about bad food? Like, you know, we all have those bad foods that you're like, I'm not going to touch that. I don't want that. I don't want to go near that thing. I don't even know what that is food. Or even if it's like you thought it was good food, but then it ended up like you got food poisoning from it. Any like really bad food poisoning stories? Like a couple people, okay? Don't share. We don't want to hear them. Except that I might tell one. I remember it was elementary school. I don't really know what happened, but I just know that I ended up throwing up all over the place. I very specifically remember the teacher walking me down the hall to the nurse's office, holding a trash can in front of me while I'm just like, sorry, I just made that sound for you. I think just soak that up. And I remember just going to the nurse's office, and my dad came and picked me up, and I went home, and we watched 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And that's pretty much what I remember about that day. But you could ask Sam or Natalie about 2 years ago in Uganda. It went really bad for me. I was like locked up in my room for 3 days straight, unconscious. And the times that I was not unconscious, one end of me was on the toilet. And I don't know, it doesn't matter which end, something bad was coming out. And so okay, we've got good food that makes us go, and then we've got bad food that makes us do just the opposite, right? And so with those pictures in mind, what I want to talk about this morning is confession. All right? Confession. I want to just for a moment redefine and reorient ourselves around what confession and accountability are. I know that we've got a couple of Bible major people in here. I know Evelyn, you're a Bible major? Okay. Y'all do Greek? Okay. Do you know what confession is in Greek? Do y'all remember that? Putting you on the spot.
No. I can only think of repent.
Repent. Yeah. Okay, it's all good. I wanted to like test y'all, see if you knew. I'm going to teach y'all a Greek word this morning.
Yes.
It's not, you don't always need to know special languages and stuff, but sometimes it's really helpful. And I think that if we know what the actual Greek word is for confession that you find in Scripture, it really will help reorient what we think about confession. And the word is this, homologeo, okay? Homologeo. And so let's break that down. Logeo. Has anyone ever heard the word logos? What is that? Word. Okay. It's just the word word. Word. That's what it is. Homo. Okay. So homogeneous means what? The same. So ultimately, homologeo, it's the word that's translated confession. But it literally means to say the same word. Okay? So to confess is to say the same word. And ultimately, the confession that we want to make is a confession that would say the same word as God says. So we want to speak the same thing that God speaks. Confession is about agreeing with God and disagreeing with what is not God. To speak the same word as God speaks. So we'll kind of unpack that as we go. But I want to jump into a few scriptures together. And so grab your Bible. Y'all are like jotting stuff down. That's good. That's encouraging. But yeah, grab your Bible. And if you can open up to Psalm 32, this is where we're going to start. And in the same way as we were talking about grace last night, with confession, there really are two sides to the same coin. And I think the kind of confession that we tend to think about is to confess sins. We confess our sins to God. We confess our sins to one another. And to confess sin, when you take that word that I just told you, is to say the same word about sin that God says. In other words, we call it sin. We say that it's wrong. We say that it's bad. We say that we don't want it. That's what confession is. It's to call sin, sin. To call evil, evil. To call bad, bad. To say the same word about those things that God would say about those things, which is why it's so important that we know the word of God, because we need to know what God says about things so that we can say the same word that he has said. So in Psalm 32, we have this this picture of confession of sin. So I want to read it together. Psalm 32, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Is everybody there? Everybody ready? Good to go? All right. It says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. But I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Praise God. Just want to hit a couple things here. In verse 2, "Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Confession, like I said, is about saying the same word as God. And here he says, "Blessed is a man in whose spirit there is no deceit." Confession is ultimately about being honest. It's about being really honest with who you are and who you aren't yet. The person in whom there is in whom there is deceit will not be a person who confesses, because they're just going to deceive others and make other people think that they're awesome, that there's nothing wrong with them, that there's no sin inside of them. Ultimately, they're not going to say the same word that God says, because you're just going to throw it away and say, "No, I'm fine, I'm good, there's nothing wrong with me." But a person in whom there is no deceit is a person who will gladly confess and gladly say, "I'm jacked up. I've got stuff wrong with me. There's sin in my heart." Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. But the person who is honest in confession. And here's the deal, whenever you keep silent the things that are eating away at your heart and the things that are inwardly killing you, just read verse 3. "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." Okay, we live in Abilene. The heat of summer, it's pretty rough. Okay, if you haven't ever been in Abilene over a summer before, you're about to. And this verse will make all sorts of more sense to you. But the one who keeps silent the things that are eating away at them, those things will continue to eat away. They will continue to destroy. The picture here is, it's a picture of like rot and death, that the bones are wasting away. They're rotting away. It's a gross picture, but it's the picture that's here. And this is what happens in a person who does not confess, but who keeps silent. We don't want to be those people. Because we can look really nice on the outside, but just be full of wasting away bones on the inside. And let me tell you, it'll wear you out if you try to carry yourself around that way. And this summer, we're doing the School of Discipleship. I want to speak this very clearly. The School of Discipleship is not some elite spiritual program. We are not perfect people. We are not the best of the best. We are jacked up people who need Jesus. And so don't wander around this summer going, I'm a D-school student. I'm awesome. No, it'll eat you up and wear you out. We are all people in need of the grace of God. May we be a people who honestly confess the things that we need and the things that are eating away at us. And look at this. You keep reading verse 5. He then kind of takes this turn. Okay, he says, when I kept silent, my bones were wasting away inside of me. In verse 5, there's this kind of implied but. He says, but I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. The one who does not cover up their iniquity, their sin, is the one who gives God access to heal it. Hey, I just get this picture of like a wounded person, and it would just be stupid to be like, just like cover it up, be like, no, it's good. And meanwhile, it's like getting infected and gross. Like, what do you do with a wound? You go to a doctor and you're like, fix it, you know? And then the doctor covers it up, but they cover it up with medicine, with gauze, with medical things. I don't know, Morgan can tell you more about how that works later. And they make you well. Your sin will be covered, okay? Either you're going to cover it up and it's going to get worse and worse and eat away at you, or God will cover it up and you'll be healed. Either way, your sin's going to be covered. Now, I guess you could go the other route where you just show it off to everyone and don't do anything about it or let God give access to that. And that's a whole different deal. But it's what it says in verse 1. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Okay, so we can either go around covering up our own sins and hiding them and letting them eat away at us, or we can let the grace of God, the blood of Jesus, cover our sins and find healing and growth. Okay, this is one piece of confession. Another piece, if you want to flip over to 1 John. Okay, so that's all the way over at the back, 1 John. This is another way of kind of saying the same picture, the same thing again. This is kind of this sin-based confession. That you know, we're in sin, we need to confess our sins. 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to read 5 through 10. It says this: this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So again, you have this same picture of, man, you can walk in the darkness where there is mold and mildew and rot, or you can uncover it and bring it to the light. It says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. Okay, but if we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves. That's that deceit again. Okay? Blessed is he in whom there is no deceit. For the blood of Jesus will cleanse and cover him. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, so he is faithful to cleanse you. We're always so afraid of confessing sin because we're afraid that God will maybe reject us, or we're afraid that other people will reject us. Later this summer, this week, we're all going to start reading Celebration of Discipline. And in that book, there's a chapter later on about confession. And there's a line that Richard Foster says in there. He says, we fail to confess to one another because we don't see the church rightly. Okay, and now listen to this, because there's this tension in who we are as the church. And David talked about it, if you were at Beltway a couple weeks ago, about we are saints. In Christ, we are saints. But if you remember last night, before Christ, we were dead. And we were children of wrath, sons of disobedience. We fail to confess because we walk into the church and we think, well, this is just a bunch of holy saint people. And we forget that before we were joined in sainthood, we were all united in sin. Okay, every one of us was a sinner before we were a saint. Every one of us was broken and dead before we were raised to life in Jesus Christ. And it's important that we remember that. Not so that we can sit there and beat ourselves up and say, oh, we're a bunch of sinners, but to remember that we're real people and that, yeah, we have dirt on our hands and on our feet. And that's what happens when we live in the world. And so confession is not this scary thing, but it's actually something that we do with joy. Because in Christ, when we confess, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. He doesn't push you away. He doesn't turn you away. And neither will a fellow son or daughter of God. Because that fellow saint, son, daughter of God has been right there in the place of sin and knows its marks all too well. So God is faithful and just to forgive us when we confess our sins and when we walk in the light. Okay, going back to that good food, bad food stuff. Ultimately, if you've ever had a stomach ache, you've ever eaten something that made you sick, there is something so relieving about when you throw up. You know? I mean, really. Whenever you vomit, like, it's kind of like this awful sickness is inside of you, and then it comes out, and then it's gone. It's not in your body anymore. And it's a dirty, kind of gross picture, but this honestly is a picture of what confessing sin is. Because you get the sickness out of you. And And just like vomit, sin comes out of your mouth by confession. You confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you. You confess your sins to one another, and we can be healed. That's what it says in James. Okay? But like I said, there's two sides to this coin. There's two sides to this whole thing of confession. Because this is all sin-based confession. And the great thing is that when we confess our sin, we get the junk out of us, but it doesn't stop there. Okay? It doesn't stop there because God gives us a new confession to make. All right? We're in 1 John. Flip over like one or two pages to 1 John chapter 4. Okay? After we have confessed our sin and he has cleansed us from all unrighteousness, there is a new confession that he gives us. And this is the other side of the coin of confession. We're going to read verse 13 through 15. It says this, "By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses," there's the word, "whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God." So yes, there is one piece where we confess sin, but after that, he gives us a new confession. And it's the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord. Jesus Christ has saved me. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is the new confession that we have. A lot of you yesterday got that little kind of schedule, values, vision statement thing, packet. This summer, yeah, we can confess sin to one another. But I want you all, as you think through what that kind of vision and mission statement is for your life, let that be a new confession. That you don't only confess sin to one another, but you also confess the vision that you have for your life that God is giving you. That you would confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, that I'm giving myself to him, that everything I do belongs to him, lines up with his gospel that will be to the praise of his glory. This is the new confession that we have. It's not a sin-based confession. It's a salvation-based confession. Because we are not in sin anymore. But we live in his salvation. And so let our confession be not only of sin, but also of the salvation that he has given us. If whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We're going to flip over to one more verse. So flip over to Philippians chapter 2. This is one more scripture. And by the way, there's tons of verses, tons of scriptures that we could read this morning. This is only a few. Because I would even dare to say that in the New Testament, the word confess is used primarily about confessing the name of Jesus. Confessing sin is part of it, but primarily about confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read, I'm going to start in verse 8. This is talking about Jesus and his great humility. It says, "Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is what we were singing this morning. Every knee will bow, every tongue will shout, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the new confession. And in the same way that bad food make you vomit, the new confession is good food. And we cannot help but just go, We can't help but enjoy the good food of Jesus, the good food of His salvation. We confess it. It's good food. This is the new confession. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All right. So here's the deal. What does this look like this summer? What does this look like in our discipleship groups? Because we want to be a people of confession. We want to be a people of accountability. But listen, in the same way that the half grace can only ever be known in the past, but this new grace opens up a new realm of possibilities for the future, okay? With confession and with accountability, sin-based confession is only ever reactive. It only reacts to junk. It only reacts to bad things. It just reacts to sin. And so sin-based confession only has as much power as sin has. But the salvation-based confession holds the power of Jesus Christ. And it is not reactive to sin, but it is proactive at warring against it. And so this summer, you could be accountable to one another in the sense that we often think of accountability groups where a bunch of people get together once a week and say, man, I fell again. I'm stuck in sin again. I didn't spend time with Jesus again. And everyone goes, oh, that's no good. Pat on the back. And then next week is the same exact thing again. Or we can be accountable in the way that we're not reacting to, oh man, I didn't spend time with the Lord. We're calling each other and saying, dude, let's spend time with God together. Can I meet up with you at 6 this morning? Can we pray together? That's proactive accountability. That's the kind of accountability that's not just reacting to what I didn't do, but it is creating a space for God to move in your heart and in your life. The kind of proactive accountability that, man, when you're home alone, if that's an issue for you, you're not just going like the next day you're calling up your buddy saying, I screwed up last night, I was home alone. But rather you're saying, hey dude, I'm home alone, this could go bad. Can we go somewhere? Can we do something? Can we hang out? Do you want to come over? Can I just tell you that so you can ask me about it later? Okay, whatever it may be, whatever it may look like for you, don't just be reactive, because ultimately that still gives sin the power. May we be a people of proactive confession and proactive accountability, that we would look ahead and that ultimately we would look to Jesus. May the confession that we have not be primarily to one another saying, I sinned again. But may the confession that we have be to the deceiver himself, Jesus Christ is Lord. Get out of my face. Sin has no power. I'm not going to fall for it. Jesus is Lord. That's the new confession. And sin has no power over it. So here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to break up into our D groups. And as a sign of we're going to take some time in our D groups to talk about ways that we can proactively be accountable with one another. So tell the people in your D group your weaknesses and the places where you want to think ahead. It's like, man, I don't wake up early, or I don't stay. I never make room in my life, in my day, to spend time with God. Can someone here hold me accountable to that? I don't just mean like ask me if I'm doing it. Like, can we do that together? Like, maybe that's what it is to you. We're going to do that, but as a sign and a symbol of our commitment to one another this summer, we're going to take some time in our discipleship groups to wash each other's feet. Because when we confess our sins to God, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we too, together, will have play a part of cleansing one another this summer in confession. So as a mark of that, we're just going to take time to literally cleanse and wash one another's feet and think through, man, what does this summer look like together? So I'm going to pray. And you can find your D group leader. And I think we've got out there the supplies that we need for washing feet. And if I think we've got some discussion questions for D group leaders. So if y'all can come up and grab those, I think they're probably on this table. Everything else is on that table. But so if D group leaders can come grab that. And y'all can just kind of get in your groups and go. So I'm going to pray, and then we will get out of here. Before we do that, just one quick detail. After your D group time, you're free to go back to your cabin, pack up stuff, and we'll be heading out of here pretty soon after that. So let's pray. We're going to get to it. Father, we love you. And we ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, and that we would be a people in whom there is no deceit. God, we lay our lives honestly before you. The brokenness, the bad food that we've eaten, the sickness in our bones. And we ask you to heal us, to make us clean. But more than that, God, we ask that you would set deep in our hearts the new confession that you give to us. That our lives would be marked with the confession that Jesus is Lord. God, fill us with your Spirit and increase our humility. May we be a people open and honest so that you could do the work of transformation in our hearts. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.